Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. And I've been trying to get this young woman on with me for a while, and she's so busy all the time. We haven't been able to get this scheduled. So I'm so excited she's with me, because not only is she a dear friend, but I think she's busier than I am. I'm pretty sure about it, because she's going in so many different directions. But you talk about a brilliant mind and a brilliant heart. Sherry, thank you for being with me. This is Sherry Matthews. If you are watching, you're going to see her beautiful face on camera. But her background is just incredible. Not only is she an engineer, computer engineering background with IBM, but then she had her own little personal struggle and decided to make life easier for anyone else going through that struggle, and formed a company called Healing Comfort. I'm going to have her actually tell the story, because it's probably a little more emotional coming from Sherry. But I met her when I was out in Austin, and she has been not just a student, but an incredible fan. She's a cheerleader. I would say, Sherry, you are probably like the best friend anybody could have. So thanks for being with me, Sherry.
Thank you for this great honor. And that's quite an introduction. I thank you very much. I'm humbled and I'm excited to be here.
Well, Sherry, tell us a little bit about your background, because in addition to all the things I just shared with you, you also race motorcycles. So I think that's pretty cool. So give us a little bit of background, because I know you also are an absolute fantastic and incredible grandma, just like I am. I love that. That's a great, my favorite role on earth. So tell us a little bit about Sherry Matthews from beginning to now.
Okay, thank you. Yes, and I'm a grand bear, and my granddaughter's a little bear. So when she sees me, she's like, "Hi, grand bear." And I say, "Hi, little bear." But you're right. That is the most fabulous position we could have. So I was raised by my father. My father was a problem solver, architect, and a builder. And he never solved one single problem for me. It didn't matter about what the subject matter was. I had to always figure it out. That's the way he taught me. In fact, when I was first riding motorcycles and had a little bit of a motorcycle accident, he gave me a car. So you think, great, right? No, he tore it all apart. It was in the driveway. He took the wheels off, the carburetor off, the battery out. And he said, not until you can fix and know how to fix this car will you own this car. So my father...
I love that story. My father made me... I mean, that's even more severe than mine. But my father made me change all four tires, change the oil, show him that I could check the all the various things in the car to make sure it was okay before I could drive. So... Your dad went even further.
Yeah. He dropped the wiring in the carburetor. So yes, it was quite a deal. But I'll tell you, to this day, I can fix anything. Anyway, so I went into computer engineering, and I had one goal and a definite purpose, and that was to work for Big Blue, IBM. And so when we were interviewing out of school, what other companies, I'll say, came in, and I would be just answering very marginal answers, very uninspired. IBM came in. I'm like, oh, I have completely, everything I do is for you. I want to work for IBM. I just love what you stand for. I got hired, the only one that got hired out of school. Because I was working two jobs and going to school full time, and they were impressed with that work ethic. Because my father was very well off, but I was not. Does that make sense? And so I went into IBM in Burlington, Vermont, And I got tested for quite a few months trying to profile. They kind of find where your natural aptitude is. And mine was in innovation and invention right off the bat. So I was the only girl that was actually hired in this innovation section. So I got to do problem solving. I got to reverse engineer the first 4 megabit chip for the NASA program.
So tell me about what year was this?
80, let's see.
Early 80s.
Yeah, early 80s. And the thing is, there were no women running around the halls. They were all men, and most of them were like MIT professor people with bow ties. So actually walking in to get my final, you'll like this story, Sharon, because my final test for innovation and invention group was I walked into the boardroom, and as far as I could see, just all men in their bow ties and their ties and everything, they handed me a stapler. They put it in my hand, a stapler, and they said, "This is your final test for our group." And I'm like, "Okay." They said, "You have 1 minute to reinvent the stapler." And so your mind just says, I can't reinvent something that works. That's what most people think like. And I use this as a tagline a lot because I first had to say, okay, what works about it? What doesn't work about it? I couldn't even quite answer that. And then how can I make it better? Well, I recalled that the ladies used to staple all the papers together, secretaries. You'd hear them all day long, bum, 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 bum. So I grabbed a coaster, and they used to hurt their hands. Grabbed a coaster, I threw it on the top of the stapler. I said, increase the surface area, and then you'll relieve the hand. I got the golf clap, and then I was in.
That is a great story. I love it. I love
crazy.
It.
Reinvent the stapler. Okay. But then I got to work on NASA projects because of the stapler test.
That's fantastic. I love it. And I hope you share that when you're doing your talks, because I think that's, you know, people realize, you know, they say easy for her to say today, but, you know, people can put themselves in that position and say, you know, wow, that, you know, just a matter of, again, solving a problem, serving a need.
My favorite, Sharon Lecter. My favorite, Sharon Lecter. Guys, everybody that's listening out there or watching, solve a problem, serve a need will change your life. Everything you do, I measure every single thing I do with that quote. And I've quoted you even in a magazine. I'm in a magazine, Founding Austin, this month with Lewis Black, who's the founder of South By. Mm-hmm. And it's Disruptors. And in that magazine is your quote. And I said, Sharon Lecter taught me to serve, solve a problem or serve a need. So I wanted to ask you something, Sharon. So I look at things like in these little compartments, and as an entrepreneur, you can be successful if you're solving a problem, and you can be successful if you're solving a need. If you do them both, the equation of adding those two together, if your business does that, I think it really secures for success. So I keep on saying, I got to make sure I balance both of those out at all times. So I like the additional part versus the or. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I love that.
Yeah. Good.
I love that. And I'm happy that you are spreading the word.
Oh, yeah.
Because you actually are a living embodiment of that phrase. So, you know, at a certain age, you found out you had breast cancer.
Yes.
For you.
Yeah, I was 40 years old. Mm-hmm. I do not have it in my family. Organic eater, long distance runner. I used to run around with a flashing neon light. You have only one chariot, take care of it. You know, don't fill it full of poisons and stuff. Well, I got the call to come back. I just couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. And I actually experienced falling down the big black hole that where you can't hear in your ears. And I guess it's shock, a part of shock and disbelief. Mm-hmm. But I actually had that experience. So I've seen the cartoons where people are falling down in a big black hole. Well, yep, that's what really happens. And a ringing in your ear. So they're talking to you about what you need to do. And you're just like, I have no idea what you're saying.
That's why I tell everybody that works with an oncologist is have somebody with you to take notes. Because, you know, I also say high emotion, low intelligence. Well, you're in that state of total high shock and emotion, and most of us don't remember what the doctors say. So
yeah, it's definitely shock. I mean, and that's really good counsel, and I say the same thing. But so I actually had been diagnosed only in my left breast, but because of my reverse engineering skill set or my always asking why, I decided to do a little heavy research. 48 pages of research taught me from research from all over the world that a double mastectomy would give me my best outcome. Well, back in the day, in 2000, they don't take off healthy body parts. And to this day, they still kind of fight it, right? And I get it. I totally understand. But for me, for my life, and what I found out is a bilateral disease, that means even if they can't diagnose it, could it possibly be there? I had to present again in a board of oncologists and surgeons on why I wanted to have a double mastectomy versus just a single. That was just me, not saying it's good for everybody, but that was just me. So when the pathology came back after the double mastectomy, which I got done, the doctor came in with a vanilla envelope and she opened it up. Obviously the first time she's actually read the pathology, and she sat down in a chair and got all pasty. And she said, "How did you know?" I said, "Know what?" She said, "You have more rampant cancer in the right breast that's undiagnosed than you did in the left."
Oh my goodness. I didn't know that story, Sherry. Oh my.
Yeah. So that was, okay. So just basically be informed and be empowered, ask questions, research, but this is the thing. So I was told to bring my husband's dress shirt to come home from the hospital after a double mastectomy. And I'm thinking, okay, that big and loose and opens up in the front. That's fine. Okay. I don't know. So I go to get my surgery. I wake up. First thing I ask for is my lipstick. I really did. And I didn't write a book about it, but I just did that. And then she tried to get me dressed. And when she moved my arms too rapidly, I literally got sick from the movement. And then she yelled at me kind of in a way of, "Why did you bring this?" And I said, "Ma'am, this is my first mastectomy. Why don't you provide something so I don't have to guess wrong?" And she said the world's worst right things for my ears. And that is, she just said, "Women have always just suffered in silence and they figure it out." And I said, "So let me get this straight. A sprained elbow receives a sling to recover in. I've just had my body altered for life. I'm in a battle for my life. And I have to guess, and this time guessed incorrectly on what to bring to the hospital. You don't have standardized equipment for me to start my journey?" And she said, "Well, this is what we offer." She put a drain tube in my left hand, a drain tube in my right. And I said, "What are those?" And she says, "Those are sewn into your body and don't let them hang. Don't let them drop." I said, "Ma'am, I need my hands." And she said, "Don't worry, we'll give you some safety pins." And I said, "Safety pins? That's my post-op equipment provided to by the hospital after this brutal surgery." So Sharon, they ended up getting me in a wheelchair, wheeling me down. And I had literally an out-of-body experience. I really did. I think it might've been a little bit of that morphine and Demerol or whatever added to the experience. But I just said, if I can change this just for one other person, I will. That this is barbaric. I shouldn't have to feel bad about what I brought to the hospital when I'm fighting for my life and I've just had my breast removed. This is a brutal surgery. It's emotionally, physically, and spiritually a battle. And so I determined that I would make a difference for other people. So I went home and I shuffled into my closet, and I have either rock and roll clothes, motorcycle clothes, golf clothes, or Chanel, none of which would be advantageous for having medical apparatus sewn into my body. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, for $1,000 as a social experiment, I said, "I'm in Austin now. I'm going to help 100 patients not go through what I went through." And I designed a recovery shirt that was really super easy to open up. So self-dressing is kind of a biggie. It's really, really sucky if you have to have somebody be in the shower with you or help you get dressed like a child.
Yep.
I'm just a real independent lady, and I just didn't want people helping me get dressed. I wanted to do it on my own. And I did not want to look sick. I didn't want to look like a patient. So my design that I created, the Heal and Comfort Recovery shirt, actually looks like you could be going to the gym. Or you might be hiding medical equipment. Who knows? Don't know.
And it's very soft fabric.
Yes, and that's a great...
for your right shoulder, so those of us that are watching this podcast can see in the background the Healing Comfort shirt set up so that you can get it on and off easily. It has pockets for all of the meters and drains and stuff that you get that will allow you to have your hands and arms free to do what you want to, right?
Yes. And thank you.
You also took the next step because you said, you know, I'm doing something that nobody's ever done before. And so many of us, we kind of go plowing forward, but you took the time to say, you know, what do I need to do to build the foundation?
Correct.
You got a patent on the design and you got a patent on what you were doing and you continue. You have quite a few patents now, don't you?
I do, Sharon. Thank you. And, you know, if people are listening or watching out there and they're like, I'm not an inventor, I don't believe that. I believe everybody has great ideas, good ideas, and they may just basically tell one friend about their great idea, but they're sitting on possibly a movement. And I don't know anything about fabric. I failed home ec. I stapled my plazo pants because I had a basketball game to go to. So for me to design clothing and textile, no, not in my wheelhouse. But I watched Coco Chanel movie 3 times and I learned that you could be a boss of fabric. Okay. And so I actually got the world's softest feather-like material, which was a battle. It took over a year. Then I saw like my 100 people goal turned into like 500 people. So then I'm like, uh-oh, I know that I need to probably protect this. So I wrote up the patent. It was accepted. I have reached now 22,000 souls with that $1,000. Yeah, thank you. And so as it turned into like 1,000 and 2,000 and 3,000 and 4,000, Sharon, I just said to myself, it's only a matter of time when I'm just going to be getting ripped off. You know that. Yes. So I modified my original patent and I refiled for an additional patent to add some legs to it, if you will. And I've learned so much from your husband, Michael Lector, who is a genius. I hang on every word whenever he gets on your show and sits beside you and starts telling people like things coming from the genius mind that he has. But I went and wrote a secondary patent. I got denied for 2 years. They kept calling me and saying, no, that's too much like Heal and Comfort, which gave me a little comfort because it was me. finally, a lady examiner came to me on the phone and she said, is this Mrs. Matthews? And I said, yes. I'm thinking, here we go again. She said, we have figured out what you've done. And we want you to know that this whole office is standing right now up and applauding you. We are not only publishing you, we wish you the best. I wish my mom had one.
Isn't that something?
From the USPTO, hello.
A government agency with a heart.
With a big heart and great encouragement.
So you've gone through the idea, formation, creation, kind of the startup, bootstrapping side. And you've had lots of hurdles, and I'm sure they've been frustrating along the way, but you've had the determination and the never give up persistent attitude. And now you really are at a stage where you are, you're no longer a small business. You're having to put on, the systems to be able to create and take it to the next level. So talk a little bit about that process because, there are a lot of people go to seminars, listen to webinars and, take all the data in, but they fail to act.
Yes.
Of everybody I've ever met, Sherry Matthews, you are a true action taker. So maybe that's from your dad making you solve your own problems, but talk a little bit about that transformation, that transition that you've had.
Well, I'm going to have to tell you that, and I'm just just completely honest, I don't know that I would have the vision to take it to the next level without your training, without your teaching. I'm not just saying that. I'm saying that I literally live and breathe, and I'm a student. You have to pick and choose who you listen to. Because, yeah, people run around to these events, and they listen, they get all emotional, like the Amway thing, and what happens now? Well, I have chosen to follow, to learn from you, Sharon, because you have to have a mentor that's been there, done that. Otherwise, they're like the rah-rah leader. I might as well go to aerobics, right? So you pick a mentor and that's been there, done that, and has a success pathway. And I'm going to be real honest. I would like to tell you that I just decided one day to take it, play big. But no, I'm in your Facebook page and your private group, and I hear about play big, everything out of your mouth. And I'm like, I got to play big. What does that mean? This is my first rodeo, everybody. So I'm a small business, small goal. Obviously, it grew. But what does play big mean? And some of your quotes are like saying that to basically not, you know, not get stuck. Can you visualize the outcome, the ultimate? And can you take action and steps towards that? So what I've done because of your encouragement, thank you very much, is I am now investigating on licensing. I am leveraging my intellectual property, my patented product. And I have actually filed with a patent attorney a global patent, Sharon, a PCT. Global patent. Hello. Wah. Anyway, I mean, that just like blows my mind. Like she says, oh, I'll get you a certificate pretty soon when you get published. And I'm like, wow. First person I want to show you is Sharon, because I've actually got my encouragement for taking the next steps to play big. Either like play big or go home. You can have a hobby and you can actually make a little money in a hobby type thing. But do you really have a global vision? And mine is a yes, because I believe I'm a solution to upper body surgeries, just like a sling for upper body arm thing.
Yeah, because so, your shirts work for heart surgery patients. I'm sure it works for anybody that's going to, you know, have drains, and it's not just for breast cancer surgeries, right?
Yes. Yeah, and I kept it so simple. And we're helping men also, because men get breast cancer too. But I help a lot of heart surgery patients. Mm-hmm. And I even help the, you know, people in hospice. Mm-hmm. And I'll try not to get emotional about this, but when my father was in hospice, yeah, he wore it.
Yeah.
Wow, right?
Yep. Well, you and I both had very strong father figures, and I'm sure they had huge impacts on the adults that we've grown up to be. And both of them are up above watching us from the best seats in the house, right?
Yeah. To have your dad transition in your invention because of his inspiration, even as a small child, is quite, it sets you back as of an amazing moment of, you know, why do you even try to make a difference on the earth? Oh, there's so many reasons. You know, I just believe in leaving the campsite cleaner than when you came.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think you definitely have, and you're making me cry. So.
Oh, I'm sorry, but it was a real moment. It's a real moment. And so I just wanted to share that with your listeners and your watchers, because something as simple as being seeing a wrong and wanting to make it right, most people will sit there and say, somebody should do something, right? Everybody says that, but we are somebody.
Well, now you're actually adding some technology to what you're doing as well. So tell me what your next phase is with the business.
Okay, so you're also a great teacher on value proposition and what's next and the famous why not. And so I wanted to have not only a physical solution for people to hide their bodies in and have adaptive, you know, clothing is what my first invention solves. I have this dream, and the dream was to be more than even just the shirt, and that is to be bringing in nanotechnology and have her interwoven into the fabrics of the shirt. So the shirt would be a governing, help a monitor. Think of a Fitbit inside of a shirt. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why this is an initiative for me is 10,000 baby boomers retire every single month in America. And pretty soon the hospital systems that we have in place will break. So I believe that home care is going to be very important. So then I was told, I pitched to somebody very, very amazing and famous here in Austin, Dr. Heller, and he said, yeah, to do nanotechnology, you'll have to raise about $10 million and put a board together. And I said, Andrew, I can't even answer emails right now, but I really have this desire to help these people. So this is a really cool story too. One of my friends, Jan Goss Gibson, was telling me about a technology for the blind, and it was called Envision Eli Technology. One of the inventors is Ron Klein. He's the grandfather of possibilities. He invented the credit card strip and MLS listing. And
I was just with him the last 3 days in San Diego.
A treasure.
Yeah.
And I know he loves you. But so I'm listening to this pitch, if you will, by Jan. And I'm like, Jan, get Rick here right now. Because what you're doing for the blind, I can do for cancer patients. I am now a partner in the group. And I have been able to move the needle for cancer patients. And I have what's called Eli technology on my shirts. And within 1 second of using a smart device over the code that looks like a QR code, but it is not, I am attaching cancer patients to the most powerful IP on the planet Earth. One company is called Belong. Belong is out of Israel. And cancer patients can join Belong. It's all by choice. And they can join Belong and they can say, I'm having my first chemo today and I'm terrified. And guess what? Belong is so powerful using the AI system, it can connect a little room, if you will, a separate thing. I'm going through my first one today. Also, let's do this together.
Lovely. Yeah, that's wonderful.
The great connector. Yeah. And then I have Breast 360, another fabulous and powerful platform. So with my technology, in 1 second, the future holds this. I already have it. Hooked up to, I'm going to have to call it Alex because you'll know why, Dr. AI. A patient today with my technology can say at 2 a.m, Alex, open Dr. AI in the air, not moving. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, hello, Sherry, what are your symptoms? And I can say, I have a rash everywhere. It runs it through Watson, IBM Watson's white pages, if you will. I think it's 100,000 white pages. And it does its filtration system. And if it feels that it's a necessary thing, that it might be emergency, it can call the doctor. I have that today, Sharon. People can talk in the air and help determine whether this is a normal thing and they're sleeping on a heating pad and that's why they have a fever, or they may have a MRSA attack and they've spiked the fever. And that will be picked up by Dr. AI and say, we're calling right now. Is that amazing?
That's incredible. I didn't know that, Sherry. That's wonderful.
And I have, thank you. And I have modified reality coming. And I've done some test, beta testing in my room. And I have a T-Rex running through my living room. And I've acted like a patient. And if all I had is the swipe of this Eli technology code, I can actually have T-Rex like running through my room. Now, what that is a future doctor visit. Mm-hmm. Telemedicine. Mm-hmm. So you would actually be able to,
we're going to see a whole lot more of telemedicine, yes.
Yep. And within 1 second of swiping this technology, you have the option of telemedicine coming to your aid. Today, Sharon. And you can see where I'm going with this. It's going to be literally virtual visits. It's going to be, you know, I'm building that out. But that's what my new thing is.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm excited to see where that goes. And I'm excited to be one of your cheerleaders because you've been such a cheerleader of mine. So we're going to you're going to hang in there for a moment. We're going to have a second recording that goes inside the private Play Big movement, of which you belong. So I'm excited. You're going to be talking to your peers. And I just want to tell you, Sherry, how proud I am of you. And I want to thank you because, you know, on any given day when I need a boost, all I have to do is see a post from you on my site, and you always make me feel great. So thank you for always being there to support me as well. And people want to find you or find out more about your shirts and your company. How do they find you?
So they can go to the website, healincomfort.com. Find me on Twitter, Heal in Comfort. I trademarked a name, sentence, Heal in Comfort. USPTO got a big kick out of that. I said I didn't want to have the competition. So I trademarked a sentence. They all broke up laughing about that one. So it's Heal in Comfort. And because that's what I did not have for me. So, but I have provided for 22,000 cancer patients.
Well, I think I've shared with you, my mother went through two separate mastectomies, brutal mastectomies, 15 years apart, and horrible chemo way back in 1984 was her first one. And so I definitely, and then she had open heart surgery. So she went through just
a lot,
years of struggle and drama. So when I first met you, it really hit home for me because I know it would have made a big difference for her as well. So thanks for being with us today. And I am so excited for your future. And I'm so excited because you are taking the action that is needed to for you to really play big. And you're playing big. And I'm just so proud of you. So hang in there. And thank you guys for watching and listening to this issue of the Play Big Movement podcast. And if you're not a member of the private Facebook group, please do so you can hear the rest of the story.
Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.